Day. Looks like a number of people are celebrating Land of the Loon or something or another this morning, but we're here and we're here to worship. Finally getting some nice weather so we can enjoy the activities that the Iron Range affords, including Land of the Loon this weekend. As far as announcements, again, we're pleased to welcome Paul and Rachel Johnston to our service this morning. They're going to be leading us in our worship songs as well as sharing the Word of God later on this morning. Nothing specific is going on this week. However, as we look into the next week, we have Salvation Army serving day on Tuesday, starting about 12:45. So please join us for coffee and conversation after the service this morning. Would you stand with me now and as we read responsibly our call to worship? God's love has poured out our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom God has given us.
We know that we live in God, and God in us, because God has given us the Spirit.
The Spirit of the Lord now fills the whole earth.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Our first hymn is Be Thou My Vision. It's hymn number 412 in your hymnal, although it will be on the screen up here for you as well.
Attempting to get it on the screen. Had to adjust some lyrics.
Vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I thy true Son, thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's Son. Harden my own heart, whatever befall. still be my vision, O ruler of all. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
Heavenly Father, who through the death of Jesus Christ has made forgiveness possible for us all, and through the Holy Spirit has affirmed our forgiveness, we come to you with our praise and thanksgiving. For it was in your profound love for us that you made possible our eternal salvation. We pray that you will free us from all of our distractions this morning and fill us with yourself, so that we might be so mindful of your presence that praising you for all that you are to us will naturally flow from our hearts as we sing, listen to your word, pray, and worship together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Our first scripture reading this morning is from the book of Genesis, chapter 18, verses 1 through 15, and it's on page 12 in the Pew Bible. The three visitors. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre. While he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day, Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord. Do not pass your servant by. Little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way. Now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seeds of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had to been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked. "There in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "Am I worried? Am I worn out? And my master is old. Will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." The second scripture reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 35 through 10:8, and on page 744 in your Pew Bible. The workers are few. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message: The kingdom of heavens is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give.
At this time, I'll ask our ushers to come forward to receive our tithes and offerings. Heavenly Father, as an act of worship, we give back to you a portion of what you have so generously given to us. We do so because there are so many needs that can only be accomplished through our giving. We pray that our gifts today will be used in such a way that our own church needs will be met, as well as for those which we have committed to serving. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Let's stand and sing the doxology a cappella.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we celebrate you as our Father today as well. We are grateful to know that because you are our Father, we are constantly in your care, that your presence goes with us wherever we are. Cause us to be ever mindful of that truth and be thankful for your ability to know exactly what we need and know exactly when to provide it. We pray for the fathers here today. May we as dads continue to be a strong spiritual influence in the lives of our children and grandchildren. We continue to pray for those in our congregation that are dealing with loss of one kind or another. May you in your infinite wisdom comfort them as only you know how to comfort. There are others who are dealing with relationship issues, financial issues, physical health issues, and spiritual issues as well. Lord, provide them the wisdom and knowledge they need to make decisions that will be honoring to you. We pray for the young people that are graduating from high school and college. They are entering into a very unsettled world. We pray for them as they determine what they are able to contribute to make this world a better place. We pray for our service personnel, that their service will be able to support the mission dutifully and glorify your name in the process. And also for our local police, fire, and government personnel. We pray that in their protection of our community, they will also be protected from harm. We lift up our missionaries, Joshua and Lori Scheiner, serving in Cameroon, doing ministry with the Fulani people. Health education, TV for Jesus, and IT consulting. Bless their ministry and keep them safe and in good health. Heavenly Father, it's difficult to know how to pray for our country. There are so many things going on in this country that are disturbingly beyond our belief. Our nation is so divided in so many issues that we are wondering how in the world we will ever know the kind of peace and contentment that we've known in the past. However the situation, we know that we can have confidence that you know what's going on in the world, and without fear, we can trust that in your divine judgment, you will see us through it all. Thank you, Father, for that assurance we can count on. We continue to pray for your leading with regard to a permanent pastor. In the same way that we don't know what holds for the future of our country, we know that you know what's in store for us in the future regarding a shepherd to lead us. So we continue to pray for your specific direction. And so as we continue to worship this morning, fill us with your presence so that in so doing, we will leave this place not in fear, but in the knowledge that you are in control of all of our circumstances, and in the end, we will be glorified as you are glorified. We pray your blessing on Paul as he shares with us your word this day. I pray these things in your holy and precious name. Amen.
Everybody see that on the screen? So as I was looking at music, I'm like, you know, these are all camp music, so it's good campfire stuff. Humble thyself into awesome God. So it's on the screen. I never actually thought about being in the silver hymnal. Oh, okay.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
And he will lift you up higher and higher, and he will lift you up. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
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 And
He will lift you up, higher and higher, and He will lift you up, and He will lift you up, higher and higher, and He will lift you up. Our God is an awesome God.
He reigns
from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love.
Our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
He reigns
from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love.
Our God is an awesome God.
Can I steal that for a second? Or steal it. Thank you.
Am I going to get on the other side?
Frozen.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
There we go. I might need to turn it down a little bit, Dad. It's a hot mic. Today, I want to look at a passage with everybody from Jeremiah 29, starting in verse 10 through 14. Specifically, we're going to look at the 29 verse 11. But with this scripture, there's a lot of scriptures out there that you can take and skew to kind of some weird things. So I didn't just want to take that one verse. I wanted to take the whole section of it and kind of go over that with everybody, but our main focus is going to be on 29:11. In these verses, we find a message of hope and of assurance that is as relevant to us today as it was to the Israelites. It reminds us that even in the midst of challenging circumstances, God has a plan for us. Going to make it so it's not going to turn off on me. That God has a plan for our lives. And He desires to give us a future that's filled with hope. So let's look deeper into this passage and uncover some of these truths. So starting in Jeremiah 29, starting in verse 10, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me. And I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for passages like this that just bring forth your awesome power and your awesome will in our lives, knowing that without you, knowing that without your love that you showed upon us, that we may be lost in this world, knowing that you have a plan and you have a purpose for us, in our lives. In Jesus' name. My mom texted me she texted me the whole bulletin instead of emailing it. I think it was kind of a very long, weird formatted text. But I didn't realize it until this morning when Brian was reading Genesis 18, 1 through 15. This thought of, so you've got the beginning of the Israelite nation, you've got a group of people, well, you've got a husband and wife and, you know, that small family, that God says, I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to give you a place. I'm going to give you a people. The nations will come out of you. And they're both going, I'm old. How's that supposed to happen? God had a plan. God had a promise that ultimately was fulfilled, and then we have the whole rest of the scriptures to go off of that. So hearing that passage and then thinking about Jeremiah 29:11, it was kind of it's funny how sometimes those things just kind of flick in your head when you're listening to the scriptures reading.
We also have it on our poster over there.
Well, yeah, the yeah. So I'm glad. I'm sure this was part of the lectionary for the week for the scripture that
the scriptures were. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Wow, it's kind of nice how those correlate sometimes. All right. So before we really delve into the promises of Jeremiah 29:10 through 14, it's really important that we look at the context where this promise was given. The Israelites were in exile. They were experiencing a period of great hardship and uncertainty. They had been, at the time that this was being recorded, the people of Israel found that they were in the Babylonian captivity. So if we look at, this is kind of around Daniel's time. Around the time of Radshak, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace. They're all suffering there, and then we have Jeremiah who's coming and giving this message of hope to the Israelites who, you've got some that are prospering and not falling away from what God says, and you have a lot, unfortunately, of the Israelites that are struggling, that are not following the plan, that are under a lot of hardship within the captivity under the Babylonians. So they're far away from their homeland. They were discouraged, uncertain, and they were longing for a deliverance from the Babylonians. In the midst of all their despair, that's when God says, I'm going to send you this message of hope. Jeremiah, it's on you to tell my people what's going to happen. It's up to you to tell them to say, this is what I want you to do. This is, you're not going to see it, but I've got something for you, and it's going to be immeasurably greater than anything that you can think of. In this context, God sent a message through the prophet Jeremiah, assuring his people of his plan for their future. Now, there's a lot of times that we find ourselves in that same situation. We find ourselves in difficult circumstances, and we don't know what our future is holding. We don't know where we're going to be. We don't know, but God does. Now, being it's Father's Day, at my church, I would always open it up with bad dad jokes. So I heard one the other day. A guy says, I lost my job at the bank the other day. Says, a woman came in, asked me to check her balance. I pushed her over. Come on, there's a few chuckles. That was a pretty good one.
That's bad.
When we look at a loss of a job, when we look at, you know, we're fresh with Julie and Brian, the loss of a son, the loss of a brother, the loss of a loved one, where the loss of job, loss of family, loss of relationships, loss of, you know, looking at the economy, the loss of all our wages because they're disappearing into everything. God still has a plan, even though all this stuff is happening around us. He has a plan for us. He's made this promise. He's made the promise that we will be okay. It's not always an easy okay, but we will be okay. It's not always that immediate, I'm good to go, but there's always going to be God's promise in the end, going, we are okay. At our church, Rachel and I, we lost one of our members recently. He had been on and off over the last year with some really hard, he got COVID, got some other stuff, and never really fully regained everything. About a month ago, his wife brought him into the doctor. So the doctors do a bunch of tests, and all of a sudden he's got leukemia. Mm-hmm. Within a week, he was gone. But with the hope he had, he says, I'm ready. I know where my hope is. I know where my faith is. I know. Unfortunately, I'm going to leave my family here for a short time. But when it's done, I get to see Jesus. I have that hope. I get to be with Jesus. Now, there's a powerful promise in the book of Jeremiah. It's that verse that's on the wall that I completely forgot was on the wall. And it's, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And being that these were words that were originally spoken to the exiled Israelites, they still hold profound relevance to us today. Verse 11 serves as the heart of this passage. These words reveal God's heart towards his people. Despite their current situations with the ancient Israelites, God assures them that he has plans for all of their well-being. The same promise that applies to us today. No matter what you're going through, you can trust that God's plan for you is far greater than you could ever hope or imagine. It's filled with so much hope. Now, the verse begins with a powerful declaration. For I know the plans I have for you. These words really reveal a fundamental truth about our Creator. That he has an infinite knowledge about us. God intimately knows every aspect of our lives. You can't hide your struggles from God. He knows they're there. You can't hide your aspirations. He sees so much more beyond our present circumstances and has a perfect understanding of what happened in the past, what's happening now in the present, and what's to come in the future. This knowledge should bring so much comfort and reassurance, knowing that we are not alone or forgotten. Again, there's times where that answer from God may be no. How many times have you prayed for something to happen and God says no? It happens. But that's not saying that God isn't answering. He's answering within that will that he, within that promise that he has given you. God assures his people that his plans for them are plans to prosper and not to harm. If we look at when Jesus is walking on the water and he calls Peter out to him, do you think that Jesus was trying to trick Peter into walking on water? No. His thought was, come to me with all this happening around you. Come to me and you'll still be safe. Get out of the boat. Come to me. As long as we stay focused on who God is, as long as we're within that plan for him, he assures us that we will prosper and we will not be harmed. It's essential to remember that prosperity, as God defines it, may not always align with our immediate desires or for material wealth. True prosperity encompasses spiritual growth and character development and an abundant life rooted in God's ultimate promises for our lives. In every circumstance, God is working for our ultimate good, conforming us to the image of Christ and drawing us closer and closer to himself. But the promise continues within the scripture. It's stating that God's plan include giving us hope and a future. In times of uncertainty, it's easy to lose hope. But God invites us to place our trust in him. His plans are infused with a hope, a confident expectation of good things to come. God's purpose extends beyond our present circumstances. He desires to lead us forward toward a future filled with his blessings, purpose, and eternal life. In the light of God's promise, we're called to embrace his plan for our lives. This requires us to do something. This requires us to give up on some things. This requires us to surrender our own desires and our ambitions and our expectations at his feet. Our plan is not God's plan. Sometimes they come together, but not all the time. It demands us to trust and have faith in the character of who God says he is, knowing that his ways are higher than our ways. And as we give up ourselves to Christ, to his leading, we can start to experience a peace that surpasses all understanding and the joy of walking alongside, knowing God's divine purpose is happening in our lives. We move on to verses 12 through 13, we find an invitation from God. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. God desires an intimate relationship with us, one that involves seeking him wholeheartedly. When we actively seek God with the genuine desire to know him, he promises that we will find him. In times of uncertainty, seeking God's guidance should be our first response. In verse 12, God promises to listen to us when we call on him in prayer. As believers, we have the privilege of approaching God in prayer, knowing that he hears us. While the answers to our prayers may not always come in the way we expect or on our desired timeline, we can trust that God is attentive to our cries. God's plan is not always, or our plan is not always God's plan. As we align our hearts with God, with God's will, and trust in His timing, we will start to see our prayers being answered in ways that are far greater than we can ever hope and imagine. If we align ourselves with Christ, with God, everything else doesn't matter. If we're within the will of God, we're doing what God wants us to do, everything else outside of that doesn't really matter. We are a people that was created to be with God. The final verse offers a glimpse into God's desire for His people. It says, "I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity." Here, God is promising restoration. The Israelites were in physical captivity, but we can experience spiritual captivity now. God longs to restore our relationship with Him, to bring us out of the captivity of sin, doubt, and fear. That's what Christ came for. That's why Jesus died on the cross for us. When we turn to Him and repent with repentant hearts, He is faithful to restore us and to renew us. Jeremiah 29:10-14 is such a powerful reminder of God's faithfulness and His plan for our lives. As we embrace this passage, we are encouraged to trust in God's providence, to seek Him with all of our hearts, and to pray knowing that He listens. And remember that in Jeremiah 29:11, it offers a profound and timeless promise from God, assuring us that He has plans for our lives. As even in times of uncertainty, it serves as an anchor, reminding us of God's faithfulness and unwavering love. So if we trust in His omniscient embrace, His plans, we will be able to find hope in the knowledge that He works all things together for our good. May we live our lives in joyful anticipation of the future that God has prepared for us, knowing that His promises are steadfast and true. Now, when I first started teaching myself guitar, I found this website or a YouTube channel of a fledgling worship leader like myself. And he wrote a song based on Jeremiah 29:11. This song is called "I Have a Plan for You." It's a beautiful song, just giving us the hope of what it is that we're looking for, what we're searching for. And like most of my sermons, I want to end with a song. I want to end with that song for you.
And Rachel's going to come join me. Wrong song. Thank you.
This is not your home. I have a plan for you. A plan for you. So don't lose hope. I have a plan for you. A plan for you. In these dark days, you'll find me. When you seek my face, you'll find me. When you call my name, you'll find me. 'Cause I have a plan for you. I will be good to you. I am the Lord your God, and I will not ever let you go. I'll bring you home. I'll bring you home. So don't lose hope. I'll bring you home. This is not your home. I have a plan for you, a plan for you. So don't lose hope. I have a plan for you, a plan for you. In these dark days, you'll find me. When you seek my face, you'll find me. When you call my name, you'll find me. 'Cause I have a plan for you. I will be good to you. I am the Lord your God, and I will not ever let you go. I'll bring you home. I'll bring you home. So don't lose hope. I'll bring you home. This is not your home. I have a plan for you, a plan for you.
If you guys want to stand, we're going to close with the blessing. You guys have a standard. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord make his countenance, lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. There's a song that was released a couple years, or about a year ago, perhaps. I don't remember now. That goes along with this. So if you want to join us in this.
You and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you, and within you. He is with you, he is with you. In the morning, in the evening, in your coming, and your going, in your weeping, and rejoicing, he is for you. Amen. 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 May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is for you, he is with you. In the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing, he is for you. Amen. 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 Amen.